Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Thursday, which means it's time for the Coach Approach. I'm so pumped to be here with the man and for 49ers come back. Last week, we spent his birthday together. This week, maybe not as much to celebrate, especially coming off that loss. But how are you feeling, man?
Feeling good. You know, as good as can be expected. Like you said, a big loss last week against the Los Angeles Rams. And that's never a fun thing to happen going in division, you know, against a division rival and losing. But I think that, you know, we kind of said it last week. It wasn't the end of the world for the 49ers if they lost that game to the Rams. I do believe the Rams are one of the top three teams in the NFL right now. And so you lose a game like that. What I did like, though, about the game was the 49ers didn't go away. They were down 21-0, and they showed fight, you know, and I like that. You know, I went Joker there, you know, you got a little fight in you, and I like that. You know, like, that's just how I felt about the team, is a young team that didn't give up. And I think that that goes a long way to show kind of where they're at in this season, and they're going to need a lot of fight. But the next four games are very pivotal for the 49ers, and if they win them, they're going to be sitting in the catbird seat as far as playoffs go, and that's why the Vegas, you know, projections still have them, you know, in the 70s to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I like that. And again, well, then you're going to love me, right? Like Batman comes in and whatever else. And so maybe that's kind of what we're looking at as reinforcements are coming in. Ant, Brock Purdy looks like he's slated to finally be back under center, taking all the first team reps yesterday. Ricky Pearsall, you're seeing the cuts. Today's a big day for Ricky Pearsall, how his knee responds to a full workload. And Alfred Collins. Those are kind of the three guys that I want to talk about. So let's start talking about Brock. What are your thoughts with the transition from Mac Jones back to Brock Purdy? It's not the first time this has happened. You brought him back and, you know, against Jacksonville, wasn't ready and took that one hit on the scramble. Things got bad. Seems like the 49ers were kind of overcautious this week. What are your thoughts? Brock Purdy back under center, good, bad, ugly, worried. What do you feel?
Yeah, I'm not really worried. I think that they learned a lesson against Jacksonville. I think that they were testing it. They were trying to figure out exactly where he was. And we saw the same problems we saw in week one in Seattle, where he kind of injured himself. Was he wasn't able to step into his throws. The ball was sailing a little bit, and he was making mistakes. He looked uncomfortable. What we're seeing at practice right now from the limited video that we see is a guy that looks more comfortable, more balanced on his feet, and that means he's going to be a better even thrower. I don't worry about the transition as far as Brock Purdy knowing this system, knowing the reads, getting the ball out on time. All those things are going to be seamless. The question is going to be, is that toe going to bother him at some point? If it does, the 49ers will probably more than likely pull the trigger early on going back to Mac Jones because you can't afford a four interception type game like you had that week, a four matchup versus Jacksonville. But I think that they, like you said, have been overcautious now. And I think Brock Purdy's more than ready to come back, and he's the franchise quarterback. And I expect, and this is probably tough, but I expect an uptick in production over the next 4 weeks. If Brock Purdy's there, you got to score more points. And I think he can give them that ability to do so.
You know, it's funny because looking at the 49ers offense under Mac Jones, which was definition efficient, like that's just what he does. But the explosives have been absent. No rush yards over 20 yards. The pass game, nothing really over 25. And whenever it does, it's after the catch, all that stuff. That is the thing that I want to see most with Brock Purdy coming back, is those haymakers, those home run type throws mixed with the efficiency. The critique of Brock has been, man, he doesn't check it down very much. He's always going for the home run. How is this offense going to operate? 49ers right now are third best in the NFL in third down conversions. They are keeping things alive. Are we going to see that same kind of trend on third downs, or is this going to be a much more Hail Mary kind of, not really, I'm going a little too far there, but go for the big play type of an offense with number 13.
I think that there's going to be the whole shots like you talked about. I think there's been some opportunities that Mac Jones hasn't looked into or really took. I mean, the perfect example is DeMarcus Robinson last week at the end of the half. I mean, that was a shot. You take it, you throw it to the middle of the field away from the defense. It was a perfect home run shot, and it wasn't taken. And I don't want to get down on Mac Jones because he's done a great job. He's been fantastic. But those are the elements that you get from Brock Purdy you don't get from Mac Jones. Now, what I'm hoping is that Brock Purdy has been watching film, sitting in those meeting rooms with Mac Jones, and it's clicked in his head. With this defense sagging so deep all the time, sometimes it's best just to get it to McCaffrey and get it to Kittle underneath and let him get those yards and move the sticks. If he goes back to that, what he did in 2022, 2023, where he was kind of finding those guys underneath, but then sprinkles in those shots when they present themselves and we get a happy balance, this offense is going to explode into a 30-point a game offense. That's, they're on the cusp. Every week it feels like they're getting closer and closer, and every time they get a weapon, it happens. But Brock's got to mix in taking what the defense gives, and sometimes that means the shots down the field, and Kyle Shanahan's dialed up some. They just haven't really been taken advantage of yet.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And maybe that can kind of, you know, get them over that hump, because if you're going to make the playoffs, which the 49ers are half game out, and shout out to Bobo, he's the best, but he's like shut down Trent, CMC, Kittle, try to get a top pick. Kyle Shanahan, no coach ever thinks that way. Like, I've been a part of teams that have been removed from playoffs. You don't think that way. Like, even when the 49ers last year were 6-11 or whatever, they didn't think that way. They still went out there and tried to, like, that's not going to happen. You're a half game out, and you're 6 wins. You have the most conference wins in the NFC. You have the most division wins in the NFC West. You're going out there to secure this. And with this schedule, why not? Why not? You have a 4-game slate where you're going to be favored in all 4 games, every single game you play. So go out, and I'll be as bold to say this. You win 4 more games, I think the 49ers make the playoffs. Do you think that this 10-win 49ers team at 10-7 makes the playoffs?
I think they've got a shot, because I think that teams like the Bears and the Packers have a really tough schedule moving forward, and those are the two teams right now ahead of the 49ers. I think they're going to kind of compete with the Lions and with the Vikings and some of those teams. I think they're going to kind of beat each other up. There's a reason the Bears, you know, according to Next Gen Stats, only have a 40% chance of making the playoffs, because their schedule is really insane. So I think that the 49ers definitely could potentially get there with 10 wins. But what I love about it is if you get to 10 wins in the next 4, and that's asking a lot for this 49ers team that hasn't been able to string wins together. But you heard it. You echoed Kendrick Bourne, Dominic Pooney, Christian McCaffrey are saying, hey, we need to do this. They know what this stretch means. Then they only have to win, John, one of the remaining 3 games, one of those against the Bears, Colts, Seahawks. They win one of those. They're an 11-win team. That guaranteed is a huge advantage. Yeah, a guaranteed playoff spot. So I think that's how you have to look at it. Get to 10 wins and then win one of the remaining 3, and you're in.
Yeah, you talked about the Bears. Listen to their schedule. Vikings, Steelers, Eagles, Packers, Browns, Packers, 49ers, Lions. Like, it's not the same thing. Now, the Packers as well, who have that tie, their schedules, let's see here. They've got Giants. All right, that's nothing. Vikings, Lions, Bears, Broncos, Bears, Ravens, Vikings. Definitely much more difficult than what the 49ers have going. You're like, you've got the schedule. You've got it there. Now, can you go capitalize? That's a different thing. But again, remember, most conference wins right now, most divisional wins. So any tiebreaker, now they're not in a tiebreaker currently. They're by themselves in the NFC. But if they are in a tiebreaker, that's where I think it's going to change. And that's where I think that they're going to. So that's why I would say, look, Seattle Seahawks didn't get in last year, 10-7. But their conference and divisional record wasn't there. So any tiebreaker, I think the 49ers are going to win, unless it's a head-to-head. Maybe like the Bears beat you and you both end at 10 wins, then you would be the odd man out. But again, I don't really see that happening with their schedule. I just don't see it. There was this comment, and I thought a very similar thing. Shout out to James. He says, the only clip I saw of Brock Purdy didn't show him stepping into that throw. Still worried about that. Larry Kruger was at practice and said, still doesn't seem like he has the same zip on his throws. It's not an arm issue, it's a toe issue. So, like, is he stepping in enough? What happens? You know, you alluded to the Jacksonville game. Let's say Brock Purdy goes out there and he's not stepping into his throws like he used to, and he's looking like Jimmy G of old. does Shanahan pull the trigger and go back to Mac Jones? Do you think Shanahan would be capable of doing that?
The holidays are upon us. And who in your family is the hardest to shop for during the holidays? Is it kids, partners, parents, in-laws? Well, Cozy Earth is a gift that they'll truly appreciate. We started with their sheets, and let me just tell you, I'm a super hot sleeper. The wife is exact opposite. Multiple blankets, dog curled up at her feet, whatever else. We went with Cozy Earth sheets. Both of us slept wonderful. It is absolutely off the charts. And here's what's crazy. They're promoting a 100-night refund, meaning you get the sheets, you can wash them, use them, wash them again, whatever else. 100 nights. If you don't like them, then you can return them. But I'm telling you right now, I don't think you're going to return them because they're just such high quality. And they stand behind their products. 10-year warranty. So once you feel the level of comfort, you'll want it to last a decade. And if something goes wrong, they'll take care of you. So Black Friday has come early at Cozy Earth. Right now, you can stack my code, 49ersRush, no spaces, 49ERS, RUSH, on top of the site-wide sale, giving you up to 40% off in savings. That's CozyEarth.com, code 49ersRush, for up to 40% off in savings. These deals won't last long, so start your holiday shopping today. And if you get a post-purchase survey, be sure to mention that you heard about Cozy Earth right here on the 49ers Rush podcast. Wrap the ones you love in luxury with Cozy Earth. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. The hard-hitting football action is even better with Prize Picks. The weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never gets old. So keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. My favorite thing about Prize Picks is just how quick and easy it is. You pick two stats, more or less. If they hit, you get paid. George Kittle, more or less than 49.5 receiving yards. Christian McCaffrey, more or less than 65.5 rush yards. It's that simple. Plus, you play Prize Picks to get action on football in more than 40 states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to three times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Josh Allen's pass yards, rush yards, touchdowns? Now you can in the same lineup, only on Prize Picks. So download Prize Picks app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. And it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Now, it's football season, and there's nothing more perfect for tailgating with your buddies or enjoying at home while watching the game. And with fast, free shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. So use code 49ers, that's 49ERS at checkout, for 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping. Or visit CigarsInternational.com/49ers and the discount will automatically apply. You got a buddy's birthday coming up and you don't know what to get them? Cigars International. You got Christmas gifts that people keep asking, what do you want? What do you want? You tell them. Go to CigarsInternational.com/49ers and get your gift there.
Yeah, I think he would, because he knows that he needs to win football games. Kyle Shanahan's a little bit of a different Kyle Shanahan with the way that he's been doing things this year. It's a little bit more cagey, especially with the media, but I do feel like he would go to Mac Jones and he would just say, hey, Brock's going to be, you know, Brock had to be the backup for the rest of the game. He wasn't right. And they'll move forward, you know, a new direction. But you have to win because, you know, it was brought up, you know, I think Bobo said it. And, you know, you talk about Trent Williams and CMC and shutting those guys down. Those are the reasons that Kyle Shanahan would pull Brock Purdy out of the game, because those are the guys he's owes. And that's the guys he's working for to try to make sure that they can win and have a shot to get into the playoffs and make something happen. So he's going to do what's best for this football team, and they've already seen Mac Jones play well. That's why I don't think Brock Purdy goes out there if he doesn't show them that he can throw off that foot and they feel comfortable with the zip on his football. But, I mean, some of it is, John, you've been a part of practice. You could tell they were going half speed most of the video that we saw. There's a reason that that video got released. It's because that's what the 49ers wanted people to see. It's just that's what they're doing right now. We haven't seen him completely go full speed. That's what Kyle Shanahan wanted to see yesterday in practice. He has to go hard. And if they sign off on it, they feel that he's ready. But I think Kyle Shanahan has to be willing, and I think he would pull the trigger if Brock just doesn't look right.
Yeah, and shout out to my buddy Shane. He says, you know, why do people think next year is going to be easier with a harder schedule? Kittle, CMC, Trent, older, Bosa and Fred coming off injury. Go for it now. You never know. In the words of Kyle Shanahan, we might not even be here on Saturday. Nobody might even be alive on Sunday. This is what you got to do. And again, the coaches, player mindset. Now, I know for fans, sometimes it's hard to get into that mindset because, like, we're used to Madden and video games and whatever else. Dude, you fight, like, you put on those pads, you strap on that helmet. You don't go out there to lose. You don't go out, like, that is just not in the cards. It's not in the mental makeup. It's a battle. It's a war. Like, you're going out there to fight. Half game out of the playoffs, you're fine. And I do think that the 49ers will make the playoffs. Now, once you get into the dance, all right, now let's see what happens. Because anything could happen. Look at the freaking Giants and winning multiple Super Bowls as what, the 5 and 6 seed. Now we have a 7 seed. So does that change things? I don't know. The NFC is good, but I would argue you've beaten two of the best 3 teams in the NFC. You already beat the Rams. You already beat the Seahawks. Put the Eagles probably up there too, even though I hate them. But yeah, you get in the playoffs. Crazy things could happen. Now let's pivot a little bit. Because Ricky Pearsall is also back at practice. Looked pretty good on the couple clips and stuff that came out there. What are your thoughts in the addition that he will bring to this 49ers offense?
I'll tell you, now you have weapons. You know, I mean, you start looking at the wide receiver room, and you know, it was so interesting. Early in the season, it was very depleted, and Ricky Pearsall was pretty much carrying the wide receiver room while he was healthy. Now he comes back into a very favorable wide receiver room. Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, DeMarcus Robinson, Kendrick Bourne. Now you can find matchups if you're Kyle Shanahan that you like, depending on which receivers you want to have out there. And you also don't have to count. I know this is probably going to frustrate a lot of people. You don't have to count on a young rookie like Jordan Watkins who missed practice time that probably can't do everything you want within the offense right now. And you don't have to count on Sky Moore to produce on offense. And I think that's important for this football team. You can put out veterans. They know about releases. They know how to get open on their own, and they can create separation. And I think that's going to be big. Because when the time comes, they're going to have to use all 4 of those veteran guys in some capacity. I don't expect 4 wide receiver sets, but you're going to get some mixture. You're going to get some breaks, some time, and you can find some good matchups. But I do think Ricky is a huge addition because he was going out there and winning consistently. You want to talk about third down conversions. He helps with that situation, takes some of the pressure off Juwan Jennings. And maybe Brock Purdy will throw it to DeMarcus Robinson. I don't think Mac Jones and DeMarcus Robinson really click.
Weird,
but maybe,
right?
Brock Purdy will. Yeah, it's weird.
I will say this. We've made a lot of money this season betting the over on DeMarcus Robinson receiving yards. I think it was at like 11.5 last week, and we bet on 9.5 earlier. So, like, yeah, like, it's weird. It doesn't make sense. He's making some great catches out there. We'll see what happens. Shout out to Perk Dog. Appreciate you, man. It was so cool linking up in Houston. You are the best. Appreciate all you do for the community. Well, and so, like, this is, you know, in my notes for my next question. Shout out to James. Whose place does Ricky Pearsall take in those 11, you know, 12, 21 personnel sets? Is he taking Kendrick Bourne's spot at that Z spot? Going back to his role, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think they're going to take a little bit of everybody's role. I think you'll see a little bit less Juwan, a little bit less Ricky, a little bit less Kendrick Bourne and Robinson, because it's smart, number one, because then you can get Juwan Jennings all the way healthy, and he's still been working through some things. But it also reacclimates Ricky Pearsall into this offense. You're seeing it at a little bit of a same direction with the left guard spot, right? Barch and Burford kind of working back in, working together. And I think that's what you'll see from the wide receiver room. Because when you can find matchups as an offensive coordinator, that's what you're looking for. So can I get Ricky on this particular corner? Well, maybe I want DeMarcus Robinson on this guy. Or you can kind of move things around and find matchups that you like, certain route concepts that you like. But also, it just gives you different looks. They don't have to block all the time. They have plays off. That way, when they go out there, they can give maximum effort when they block. So I think it does take snaps from Bourne, who's been really good this year, but I think it does take kind of snaps from everybody as Kyle Shanahan will go to more of a rotation at wide receiver.
Yeah, that's what I want to see. And, man, the consistency's been the issue. And I think, you know, in the Ricky Pearsall's games that he has played, by far the most consistent. You know, whether you're talking about Kendrick Bourne not lining up correctly, drop passes, you know, penalties, whatever. Juwan Jennings fumbling, not lining up correctly, missing blocks, drop passes, all those different things. You haven't seen any of that from Ricky Pearsall. If that ball is anywhere close, he's got those Velcro hands. It's not hit, you know, the knee issue. I don't think that that's going to be affect him running routes and all those things. We'll have to see how he responds today. Today, the number one thing I want to see is, does Ricky Pearsall practice today? Because with knee issues, and shoot, you and I, we were at training camp. We saw Itergros Matos out there freaking having the workout of his life, and then he didn't practice for three more days afterwards. So how does that knee respond today? The practice reports aren't out yet, but if Ricky Pearsall practices today, and it'd be limited, you'll keep that limited tag on him all week long, no matter what, then I think he plays. Like, and gosh, you need him. You just need consistency. And we saw Brock Purdy trusts Ricky Pearsall. So will the explosive plays come back? Again, that's the pairing. The big thing with Brock Purdy and Ricky Pearsall, and, you know, I was not a fan of taking Ricky Pearsall with that first overall pick, but that was a Brock Purdy pairing pick because Brock gets through his progression so quick. His accuracy, whenever he's healthy, is top-notch, and he could throw it to people that create space. That was Debo's problem. Couldn't create space for his man. Ricky Pearsall, exact opposite. So can that bring the explosives? That's what I want to know. And if it does, then it opens up the run game. It's all complimentary. Still not a 20-yard-plus rushing attempt this entire season through 10 games. Are we going to see that? Like it's hard to kind of, you know, put that projection on you. But at some point, it has to happen, right? We only have 7 games left in the season. Is this going to be the first Shanahan father or son season ever to not have a 20-plus yard rush attempt?
Well, I think it's going to fall on guys like Colt McKivitz and Jake Brendel, because there would have been 20-plus yard runs in this last game if they would have executed correctly the way that they were supposed to. The very first toss play of the game, Colt McKivitz comes down to help on Braden Fisk and is slow getting out to the linebacker, Omar Spates, and completely gets the play blown up. If he just gives the touch on the shoulder like he's supposed to and doesn't turn all the way in on Fisk and works up to second level, McCaffrey gets his 20-yard run, and the 49ers are in business on that offensive series. But things didn't go that way. And we've seen it from McKivitz, especially on that fourth down run as well. He got beat across his face. Then you saw Brendel get beat. It changed the line that Christian McCaffrey's running on the outside zone. And then you get Tom Brady blaming the tight end. The tight end did nothing wrong. The tight end was kicking his guy out like he's supposed to. But those are the types of things that affect plays. So I think that they've had the design. They've just lacked a little bit of execution. And I think if they can execute a couple of plays here and there, they're going to get that 20-yard run. It might not be Christian McCaffrey. It might be Brian Robinson that gets one of those big runs. But one of them is going to get it. It's going to happen. I do think that there are opportunities still to run the ball. They should have ran for a lot more yards against the Rams than they did. They just didn't execute the way they're supposed to. And it came down to some of those offensive linemen, a few times some wide receivers and tight ends. But for the most part, it fell on the offensive line big time.
Yeah, it's crazy seeing so many good plays called, whether it's pass or run game, be like, oh, that should have worked. That should have worked. Just execution. And so whenever you can get that pairing, that's where I think it changes. But, man, with number 64 at center, how often are we going to see that happen? With the wide receiver, getting Ricky Pearsall back should help. He's one of the better, like, blocking wide receivers consistently. He has a lot more effort than some of the guys that we have out there now. And, you know, that's another thing that I want to talk about as well, is I want to dive into, you know, not only is Brock Purdy and Ricky Pearsall back, but after a short leave of absence, Alfred Collins, I feel like that changed everything, not having him out there last week. So let's talk about that next, right after this. Guys, we have been working with MyBookie for almost 8 years now, and it doesn't matter what it is that you want to bet on. You want a casino, you want to bet on football, draft, over-unders, player props, basketball, baseball, politics, you name it. They got it all. So go to MyBookie, use promo code 49ers, and you're going to get a bet back bonus, which means when you bet something and you click to opt in and you don't win that bet, You get it all back. Comes with a one-time rollover, which is like nothing. And again, this is a site that you can trust because we've been using them all the time. And if you're one of those people that's just like, I don't even know what to do. I don't know where to find the stuff, whatever else. Well, we take care of that for you as well. Over on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon page, we post our weekly season-long draft bets, everything 49ers, every single week. We post them on Friday or Saturday, depending on the game. And so, and we walk you through. We have how-to videos, how to do a teaser bet, how to do parlays, all that different stuff. So if you want to get involved and you want to check it, bet anything, anytime at MyBookie and use promo code 49ers. That's 49ERS for your bet back bonus. You're in charge. Dude, right now, probably my favorite bet that I'm liking is, you know, the 49ers are 3-point favorites on the road in Arizona, and they're as banged up. We're going to talk the second half of this show about that. But, man, the alternative lines taking 49ers minus 2.5 just so you get that field goal cutoff. That's my favorite bet right now. We post our bets every Saturday over on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. Now, shout out to Perk Dog. He says, Ant spitting facts. That's why we freaking love Ant. He knows what the hell he's talking about. And the best way to support Ant is over on his Patreon. Talk to us just briefly, Ant. How can we support you better?
Yeah, 49ers Cutback, Patreon. Go check it out. I do the film breakdowns, you know, go through all that stuff. I do standalone shows over there. So we do some stuff, and it's a lot of fun. So if you're interested, come check it out, you know, see what's up. And if you don't like it, you can always bail, but I guarantee you'll get a lot of, you know, the content that you're looking for as far as film breakdowns and things like that.
I love it. I love it. So let's talk about Alfred Collins. He's only been out one game, but man, what a difference big number 95 made. Now, is he going to be back this week? He's working out on the side field, got a leg brace on. He got separated like his shoulder, but he's got a knee brace. Like, there's some things. What are your thoughts on Alfred Collins and the difference he makes? Will we see him this week?
Well, what I love about Alfred Collins is the fact that it got described that it was a lethal weapon moment, right? With the shoulder, that he's like, you know, slamming his shoulder back into place. That's the kind of stuff that you want from your defensive tackles, the toughness that you're looking for. And I think that he shows a lot of grit and effort in his play. And that's what I've loved the most about him this year. It was a rough start, that's for sure. But I think the 49ers missed him really big last week in the run defense. I mean, he was really good against the Rams the first time. And I thought that this time they were missing him. Kevin Givens struggles in stopping the run. That's not really what his game is for. He's more of a pass rusher.
He had a bad first half, man.
And he hasn't really been that great in pass rush either. I don't think he's all the way back from that peck, but we got to remember he missed a lot of time. But I think Alfred Collins is big for this 49ers run defense. And I like the rotation when it's him, Kalia Davis, Jordan Elliott, and Kevin Givens. I think that that's a good one. I thought CJ West struggled a little bit this week as well. But I think Alfred Collins is big for this 49ers defense and what they want to do on first and second down. John Lynch goes on KNBR and said, we didn't earn the right to rush the passer against Matthew Stafford. I think that's correct. And a big reason why is Alfred Collins. And he's only going to get better, guys. Like, Alfred Collins is going to be a stud run stopper. And he showed more pass rush upside, I think, this season than people are even expecting. He's going to be a very good player. I like Alfred Collins.
He's third in quarterback hits on the team for the year. And he's got some of, like, the lowest, you know, pass rush snaps of anybody out there. So, like, yeah, Alfred Collins. And I said something kind of like just off the tip of my tongue. I was like, if you would have drafted Alfred Collins in the first round, you would have been very happy with the results you're getting. Is that stupid to say? I kind of walked back on it on yesterday's show, but it's like the dude belongs. Like he's not going to ever be one of those guys that gets those elite sack or TFL numbers. He just makes the entire defense work better.
Yeah. I mean, part of what Alfred Collins' job is to keep guys off the linebackers, to have guys like Fred Warner. I know Fred's not playing right now, but the design is you get those guys running free. And if you can have those, you know, these read and react linebackers who aren't really good at shedding blocks, that's not what they do. But if you can have them running free and you can occupy offensive linemen with your defensive tackles, you're going to be a really good defense. The 49ers are predicated on speed when it comes to the linebacker room, more so than taking on blocks. And so that's part of the reason you get Alfred Collins. And that's why you get CJ West, because that's the idea of it. We're going to take on these double teams. We're going to occupy them, and we're going to keep our linebackers free to roam and make plays. And that's what Alfred Collins is going to do for his career. There was a very good plan for for why drafting Alfred Collins and why drafting Mikel Williams. It is stop the run first and allow yourself to rush the passer on third down. And you can find good pass rushers available on the open market or in the draft. So I think that this is exactly who they were expecting Alfred Collins to be.
Yeah, well said. And I'm just super excited about the future, but you got to get healthy. But it's where we are now. So let's shift a little bit. Let's start talking about the Cardinals now. And what are your favorite matchups? How do you feel about this? You already beat the Cardinals once. They're as banged up currently as the 49ers are, given they don't have a Bosa or a Warner on their, you know, roster to miss. So, like, we're definitely missing more prime pieces, but they're missing a lot of guys. They couldn't even hold practice yesterday. They had to have a walkthrough. They freaking Allen Iversoned, you know, the thing. Like, we talk about practice? Like, they can't even have practice. So, talk to me about this 49ers-Cardinals matchup from the coaching perspective and what kind of stands out to you.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that stand out right away. I think first off, it's neutralizing Calais Campbell by running the ball outside. I think they want to run the ball kind of the outside zone that they've been doing so much. And I think they have an advantage when going at some of those edge defenders that the Cardinals kind of have. So it's a similar game plan to what you were doing against the Rams. You're trying to get movement on the edge and then kind of run it in that C gap area where you can get vertical. They just got to do a better job of executing. And I think that marries into the passing game for the 49ers this week, where you should have an advantage with your wide receivers and George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey against the defensive backs of the Arizona Cardinals. It's a pretty good safety room, but when you look at the corners, they've had injuries all year long. Will Johnson has been hurt. They just had Max Melton. He's been in concussion protocol. He'll probably be back. But you've got a lot of injuries there. I think that's an opportunity for the 49ers to take advantage. But I think it has to marry together this week. They need to get that run game going, establish the outside zone, work in some gap scheme, and then get some play action off of that where you can kind of move the pocket and get the ball to your playmakers. And I think they have an advantage when it comes to their wide receivers versus the cornerbacks. I think that that's the biggest advantage. And the gravitational pull that you see on film from George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey and what they're doing, that's going to open things up big time for a guy like Ricky Pearsall. You might start getting some of those deep dig routes over the middle of the field open again because of the way that they operate. I mean, Kittle at times has three different guys looking at him. I think it's always fun to see that gravitational pull and how Shanahan uses it to move people horizontally and vertically and open up windows for his receivers.
It was funny on one of the touchdown plays, Kittle was out. And so it was Luke Farrell and Jake Tongis, and Luke Farrell ran a 5-yard inbreaker and four people gravitated to Luke Farrell. Then they're like, that's not Kittle. And then like it's funny, like even the decoy Kittle creates that separation. I thought it was pretty funny. Now I do have to say this, shout out to Shaded, a couple other people. Shaded says, what is it with this vertical view? Is my phone being weird or something? StreamYard, the people that power the show, offered like this new way where you could like do vertical and horizontal, whatever. Tell me you don't like it and we will never do it again, but it like defaulted in. And so anyway, it's some new technology that they are trying to ramp up, and they gave me the opportunity to try it, and I'm not sure I like it anyway. But so anyway, if y'all don't like this, let me know, and I will make sure we never do that again. Now, talk to me about the 49ers corners versus this wide receiver group of the Cardinals. No Marvin Harrison Jr., no Zay Jones. 49ers have a history, especially the past like 3 years, playing teams without their number one and number two wide receivers, and it not working out for the 49ers. The backup wide receivers just trashing the 49ers secondary. Now, the 49ers defense not been great with all the injuries. They're struggling week to week to week. Is it going to be different this time?
I think this is a good matchup for the 49ers cornerbacks. I think that when you look at, you know, Michael Wilson Sr. and what he's able to do, it kind of matches up that big physical, not super fast. Renardo Green, Diamond Lenore, they love that kind of matchup. That usually works out well for the 49ers. I think if there's a matchup you don't like from the wide receivers, it's probably Greg Dortch, just because of the speed and his quickness. And I'm guessing the Cardinals watch the 49ers struggle against screen passes and expect to see a screen pass or two to Greg Dortch and see if they can get him going on the open field. But this is a real big injury concern for them when it comes to wide receiver. I don't know that they're going to have enough. They're going to elevate guys from the practice squad. They're even missing guys like Weaver and Fayoko, and these guys at the end of the roster, they are absolutely beat up at wide receiver. But it gives me flashbacks to Tampa Bay when they really didn't have anyone either. And, you know, Baker Mayfield was able to go out there and handle business. Now, the difference is it's Jacoby Brissett, not Baker Mayfield. I think the biggest matchup problem for the 49ers has to go to the tight end position, where you have Trey McBride and you also have a very capable backup in Elijah Higgins. Those two guys, I think, will see more time on the field. Expect 12 personnel. And why not, after you just watch the Rams go 13 personnel and handle the 49ers defense pretty well? I expect to see some 12, some 13 personnel this week. And I do think that those are tough matchups for the 49ers safeties. So I wonder how Robert Saleh goes about handling this, where you got to give so much attention to Trey McBride, all the while you can't get a matchup where you get Higgins one-on-one with Malik Mustafa or Jair Brown. I think those are tough situations. I would say Jason Pinnick needs to play. I think that he could definitely play one of those guys, and I think that would be a good matchup. Probably Higgins, play them and just kind of, you know, take other guys and focus them on Trey McBride. I think they got the guys to do it, but Marvin Harrison Jr. being out is going to be huge for this team.
Yeah, the question is, will D Winners allow Jason Pinnock to come in and play on the field? Is that even going to be allowed from number 53? Yet to be determined. One timeout, one penalty, one player card thrown, one coaching cuss out on the sideline. Very curious. Let's look back for a second. D Winners, it's not a secret, is not playing well. There's some definitely frustration and literally like almost like jumping at Jason Pinnock when he tried to sub him out. From a coaching standpoint, how do you handle a player like 53? Players, it's not playing well, struggling, yelling at teammates, refusing to come off the field. How do you handle that? Is it just, hey, we'll get past it, we work through it? Is it, dude, we got to set the tone, set the effing tone, and give this dude a little bit of a break? What's your stance there?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. I think, number one, there needs to be a player or players that go to D Winners and say, hey, man, we understand you're frustrated. We're all frustrated. But you cannot act like that. You have to do what you're supposed to do. And the 49ers have the locker room for that. Normally, you wouldn't have to worry about it because 54 would have walked up to him and told him, hey, do your job. You know, take care of business. Get off the field. Do whatever coach tells you to do. They don't have that right now. They don't. They're kind of without a rudder a little bit on defense. So I get that he's kind of acting squirrely. But also the coaches, you know, Kyle Shanahan needs to pull him and say, don't you ever do that again. Don't do that again. This is not the look we want. We're not dealing with that on this team. You have to operate the right way. We get it. You're frustrated. Now go take that and make it a positive. Go do good film. Go play good football. And that's one of the things they need to do with D Winners. He does need to play better football. It's so different to see how he played with Fred Warner and how he plays without Fred Warner. Fred Warner is a big reason why D Winners was so good early. And part of that is because Fred took a lot of the things off the plate of D Winners. They would put Fred in some really tough situations and he could answer the call. You can't do that with the current Tatum Bethune and that linebacker group. It's not that they're bad. They can't do Fred things. Fred could cover tight ends in space by himself. They can't do that. So it does put more pressure on D Winners to be in positions he's probably not as comfortable in. And I think that's what you're seeing.
And I also think, like, we saw the same thing with Aaron Banks playing next to Trent Williams whenever he was healthy, goes against his payday. I don't know if you've paid attention to what's going on up in Green Bay. They are not overly excited about what is to come. So now I do want to say this. We are excited. I'm flying out tomorrow morning early. We will be in Arizona having an absolute blast this week. So if you are anywhere around Arizona, come say what's up. We're going to be at Salt Taco Tequila. It's going to be a great time. We're in the Westgate District, 2 to 6 p.m. on Saturday. And then we have our unlimited premium tailgate, mixed drink, food, all that stuff. Shout out to my man, Keith. He's going to be out there at both of our events. Can't wait to see you, Keith. You are the freaking man. So if you go to any game at all on the road, you got to come party with us.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys. Kids are always included and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Dude, I love it. I love it. Shout out to my man, Shane. Appreciate the super chat. He says, hey, boys. What does the film say about how we are defending screens this year? It's been rough in recent seasons.
Well, the 49ers got caught in some blitz looks. You got to give Sean McVay a lot of credit. He knows that pressure is going to come because Robert Saleh has to manufacture pressure. And Matthew Stafford is a really good instinctual quarterback, but he knows what to do when he's at the line of scrimmage. And he put him in the right play. They hit those screens. That's a big reason. They're outmanned when that happens. And you see Upton Stout come. They throw the screen out there to Puka Nacua. They make a couple blocks. And you got to give the Rams credit. They did make their blocks out there as well. They did a really good job. And then Puka did the rest. Of course, number 27 didn't make a tackle when he should have. But they're struggling. And a lot big reason why is they can't just rush four. If they could rush four, they'd have more bodies out there to help stop the screens. But right now, they're susceptible to them.
And it's problematic when you have Upton Stout. Like, he can't disguise the blitz yet. And Matt Stafford, there were a few times where Matt looked at him, and then he would go, we're good, guys. We're good. And he literally, that was their call. Well, thumbs up. We're good. We're running it. And boom, just got beat on the board. I really thought the oversimplification from Robert Saleh and how he communicated that to the press for 3 weeks straight since that Texas game, I gave too much to him. We got to simplify. Then McVay says, all right, cool. We're going to give you some looks you haven't seen, and we're going to know what you're doing. And he totally took advantage of it. Like, Robert Saleh is awesome. I hope he's the defensive coordinator for as long as possible. Having said that, that Texans game, take it to the woodshed. The Rams game, take it to the woodshed. And yeah, the injuries make it more difficult. Doesn't matter. You look at that Texans game, they were out of their top two wide receivers and still were able to do whatever the hell they wanted the entirety of the game. So Robert Saleh is awesome. The 49ers don't have a 6-4 record without him. But to sit there and also say, like, oh, he's the best and doesn't make mistakes, I don't even think Robert Saleh would say that. And so that's been a lot of it. Getting caught with your hand in the cookie jar, that is difficult, because when you blitz that nickel, now you're two blockers on two defenders. And somebody's got to make a play. They usually don't account for the safety. Number 27 comes in unblocked, completely drops to the ground, doesn't even bring him down in flag football. That's kind of the issue. Shout out to Cam's dad. He says, coaches are here. Who do we root for in the Seahawks-Rams game? Ooh.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, to quote Christian McCaffrey, can both teams lose? Yeah. I think that's how I always look at it. I am interested to see this matchup because I think that I want them to kind of split in their two games, right? Whoever wins this one, I hope the other one wins the other one. I want them to kind of weaken each other a little bit. But we're going to get an idea if Seattle's for real in this one, because the Rams are probably playing the best football that they've played this season. And so you're going to get really good defensive lines against each other. And I want to see if that Rams offensive line can hold up against Leonard Williams and that Seattle defense. And let's see if that secondary is good enough to handle Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams, because really those guys have been going off. It's going to be a fun one. I think that's going to be a really good matchup. It's going to kind of set the tone for the NFC West moving forward.
Set the tone. Keith, he says, do you guys think Kyle needs to have some packages with both Brian Robinson and Christian McCaffrey on the field at the same time? We saw it once this year. One time, and then they never went back to it again. It was over a month ago. I forget which game it was, but there were probably about 7 to 8 plays where they were out there together, and then it just got pulled from the books. But man, Brian Robinson has been such a breath of fresh air, bringing that attitude, conviction, just playing with pure passion and anger. Man, do you think we'll get to see them on the field, and would that be beneficial?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Kyle do it before, especially with Elijah Mitchell. Elijah Mitchell, Christian McCaffrey, they put him on the field together a little bit with Jeff Wilson as well. And I think it does give you some unique looks depending on how the defense wants to declare their personnel grouping. And I think that's what Kyle looks for. I think Brian Robinson now has a pretty good grip on this 49ers run game and also the offense. So he knows what to do and where to go. And I think now you can kind of transition into some of those looks. And I think you can get some unique matchups for Christian McCaffrey. But I mean, nothing was as fun as Brian Robinson running over Landman in the hole and walking into the end zone. That was big boy football. That was exactly who we thought Brian Robinson was when they traded for him. And that was good to see. 49ers continue to trend on the upward with red zone offense. And a big reason why McCaffrey, Brian Robinson, I'd love to see some of those two back looks. I think that would be unique and interesting. And how defenses play it also could set you up either in the passing game or the running game.
Ah, yeah, I like that. Right here, James says, man, can we get Siegel to replace Brown already? How do you feel about that?
I think it should happen. I think that just looking at what Jair Brown has done, he hasn't added enough in coverage to make up for the lack of tackling. At least with Marquis Siegel, you know you're going to get a really solid tackle. Is he going to be able to make the plays on the footballs consistently? No, that's not really his game right now. But I think that you're losing out when it comes to the tackling and his ability to play those screens and play around the line of scrimmage. So I'm hoping that we're going to see him sooner rather than later, because I don't think the Jair Brown experiment has really worked, minus a couple of plays here and there. And I think with Jair Brown and Malik Mustafa together, the 49ers are a little deficient at safety right now.
Yeah, it's an issue. I think that I don't think we're going to see Siegel this week. I think this is kind of the last, you know, and it's a division game. They kind of pull all the stops. There's a reason why Brock and Pearsall and all them are coming back for this one. If 27 has another rough one, that's whenever I think the change transition should start. I think this is kind of the last hoorah. I hope he goes out there and plays well. But my biggest issue with number 27 is I don't like soft defenders, and he is so just cautious when it comes to contact and just seems so scared. It's embarrassing at times. And I don't think that it fits the team's personality. So we'll see what happens there. And you know what, and shout out to Joe. I appreciate Joe. And, you know, he's one of my old hats, which I freaking love. It was so awesome hanging out with you in Seattle, Joe. I stopped using Jake Brendel's name because I don't want to draw negative attention to a person. So I start calling him his number 64. But now Joe reminds us that's problematic because Dave Wilcox, he's 64. Hacksaw Reynolds, he's 64. I don't know. Maybe I just got to start referring to him as the center. And I, you know, one of the reasons why I am such a big fan of yours and want to spend, you know, at least one show a week together and do our draft work together is because of how you treat humans. And this is something that I struggle with because I get so pissed off whenever I see poor performance repeated over and over and over again, not to make it personal. So how do you handle whenever you see a player costing the team repeatedly over and over and over again? How do you handle being so positive and covering that from a film perspective, football perspective, without, you know, trashing the individual? Because this is something I struggle with, and it's something I don't like. It's my least favorite part about this job.
Yeah, it's hard, you know, but I think that, you know, learning through time with film breakdowns, you had to tell our own teams, you know, hey, this is what you're doing wrong. There's no offense to it. It's just, hey, this is what it is. This is what happened. You didn't execute. You didn't get it done. And players respect that for the most part. So my approach is, hey, if you made a bad play, I'm going to say it. If you made a good play, I'm going to point it out. And I think that that's just the only way you can go about it. But as a fan, it gets frustrating if you see players making mistakes. And sometimes the emotion definitely takes over and you're like, man, this guy stinks or that guy stinks or whatever. But when you can detach and you just watch film and you just break it down from play to play and you just, hey, this is a mistake. This is not. This is good. This is not. Then it kind of helps out. And that's just kind of my approach, was a coach approach to it. Throw that in there for a little bit. But yeah, I take a look at the, you know, I used to tell the kids the same thing. Like, I'm not mad at you. I'm are we frustrated that we're not executing? Yes. But I just want to point this out so you can get better. Because if I don't tell you what you're doing wrong, you can't get better. Now, Jake Brendel, he doesn't need people to tell him what he's doing wrong. He knows what he's doing wrong.
Does he?
He shakes his head. Well, I think he does. I don't think he's allowed not to. I'm pretty sure Trent Williams would tell him in the meeting room. Like, I have enough confidence in Trent Williams to say he's going to be like, hey, Jake, you need to get this done. So I do think he knows, but I also don't think he wants to believe it's sometimes as bad as it is. Yeah, because he gets frustrated with other guys. I think that's one of the most interesting things about Jake Brendel, and probably what frustrates people the most, is the shaking of the head and kind of talking to himself. And he's not talking to himself. He's usually talking about somebody else and what they did wrong.
I agree with that. I agree with what you just said big time. And shout out to Shady. Says, man, actors get slammed, teachers critique, cops, financial advisors. These guys make millions as part of the job. And I think my problem is, like, if I put something out there on social media, and I used to tell my players this all the time, the time I stop correcting you, that's when you know you're in trouble. And like, whenever I'm not coaching you to be better, when I'm not correcting you, that's when you need to be worried. Because that's whenever we're moving on and we're going to find somebody else to do your job. If I'm correcting you and I'm showing you the stuff that you need to do better, it's because I want you to improve and we believe in you moving forward. When I'm done correcting you, it's done. Now, we're not coaches for the 49ers. They don't hear what we have to say, right. Whatever else. But that is, and I just want to say thank you, Ant, for how you handle situations like that, because that makes me better. And so we're looking to improve, too. And when they break down the film of the 49ers coach approach, hopefully they don't say, like, these guys are bad people, at least. Maybe other stuff. There's other critiques for sure. But I want to say thank you. Appreciate you. Final question here. Do you see this as a 49ers winnable game? Do you think that they handle business? Do they continue with this 9 straight games of win-loss, win-loss, win-loss this week?
Yeah, I do think they win this one. I think there's going to be an emotional lift from getting some players back. I think they know how important it is to get a divisional win against the Arizona Cardinals. And I think that they've got a better matchup against a guy like Jacoby Brissett. I know Brissett has got the ability, but he's been sacked 18 times in 6 games for a reason. And he's been sacked a lot recently. And I know you don't have a great pass rush, but this is an opportunity to get to a stationary target. I think the defense will play better than it played against the Rams. And I think the offense is going to really get rolling. I have a lot of respect for Jonathan Gannon and that Cardinals defense, but I think the 49ers have some advantages that they can go out there and get some things done with McCaffrey and Kittle. And I think it's going to make a big difference in how they operate. And I think Ricky Pearsall is going to make a difference as well. Look for him to make a couple big catches and for the 49ers to continue the trend of being really good on third down and really good in the red zone. That is something that they're trending on the right direction at 60% now of the time they score touchdowns. We forget that they led the league in 2023 at 68%. They're trending that direction. And that is the difference a lot of times in games, who scores touchdowns and who kicks field goals.
You know what's crazy? It just occurred to me. We've had one quarter this season of a healthy Christian McCaffrey, a healthy George Kittle, a healthy Ricky Pearsall. One quarter. They won that game. That was on the road against Seattle. We're going to get to see that again. I'm excited. And thank you for all you do. Everybody go subscribe to 40 Hours Cutback. And until next Thursday, we'll have another coach approach. But until then, stay strong, faithful.